Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, trusted for remodeling projects big and small. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When a film describes itself as a documentary, it's making a particular claim about its relationship to reality. What that movie is trying to capture is real life. In one that focuses on real people, those individuals sometimes speak directly to a camera to give you, through that realness, a chance to learn something about the world they live in. Now, real life is complicated. That makes documentary film so hard to pull off. Make it a documentary play performed on a stage for an in-person audience with no option to edit. That's even more challenging. It also has potential to be even more impactful. That creative experiment is behind the play Just Human, and its subject, the experience of trans people in the 2020s, is complicated indeed. Just Human opens in St. Louis tomorrow for a four-day run at the Greenfinch Theater. And here to talk about Just Human is the play's writer, Jamie Linson. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And also here with us is Jordan Braxton. She's one of the performers in Just Human. Jordan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So, Jamie, I'd like to start with you and the origins of this play. You are a clinical psychologist. How did you get started on a project as a playwright?
It was January of 2023, and in my private practice work, I had a few clients who were transgender. I had one client who was the parent of a transgender daughter. And it was around that time that a lot of anti-trans legislation was coming out of Jefferson City, was being proposed. And I heard about that myself, and I saw the impact of it through the eyes of my clients, and realized I was struck by how understandably afraid they were, and concerned about how this might affect their lives. Mm-hmm. And so that was really what prompted me to want to try to do something supportive.
And had you written a play before?
To a lesser extent. When I was working at UMSL as an outreach coordinator at the counseling center, I wrote a play that was based on the experiences of African-American students dealing with societal pressures and the impact that can have on mood. That was only about 10 pages. It was a much smaller scale project compared to this.
Mm-hmm. This project, it did involve gathering interviews. How did you go about doing that?
That was one of the challenging parts of it early on, was finding people who would agree to sit down and interview me, which is understandable during a time where there's a lot of oppression, a lot of threats, and tragically violence against the transgender community. Folks who didn't otherwise know me would be understandably reluctant because they wouldn't necessarily know what my intentions were. I was helped a lot in that area by some contacts I'd had with my ally work for the LGBTQ plus community and also with the theater community. I was able to start with people whom I knew and then got some recommendations through them. And so that was kind of what got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. And to make it clear, none of the interviewees were your clients, right?
Correct. Yeah. I wanted to make very sure that there was a distinction there, that my only relationship with my clients was as their counselor and mm-hmm. not any involvement in this production.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, you are in this play, and you are the only one who's playing yourself. What was that like?
Well, I got the notifications for auditions and I was reading who the characters were, I was like, well, no one can play me but me. So I was actually out of town the weekend of the auditions, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I won't be able to audition then. And then I sent Jamie a message later, and Jamie said, let's figure out your schedule and let's make this work. Mm-hmm. And it's been a joy to see my words be a part of a production.
Has that happened at any other point in the past?
No, I've always played different characters. And the hardest part of this part is remembering what I said.
Fortunately, you have some help with that.
Right? Yes. You know, you're like, oh, I got to remember these lines. And then I have to remember, oh, this is just my own story. So
right.
I just had to recount what my story is.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first performance that is of Just Human was just a few days ago in Colombia. And I should note here that the director of Just Human is Darius Varner, who's the production intern on our show. What was it like to experience what you'd been working on a stage, you know, with an audience that was not there, you know, to try things out, you know, for the first time, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, it was frankly a little bit terrifying because, you know, I'd been working on the script for so long. I don't feel like I have an objective view of it anymore, just because I've seen it over and over again. So I didn't really know what the impact would be. I'd gotten some positive feedback from folks I'd shared it with, and also we had honed it during read-throughs to a point where I thought it was in, you know, the best shape it could be in. But that was a little frightening, not knowing how the audience is going to respond to it. And so I'm up there in the light and sound booth waiting to hear, and it was wonderful that we got such a positive response.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, you are no stranger to being on stage. Was there something about doing this particular play in Colombia, you know, that might have felt different if you had done that first, you know, staging in St. Louis?
I think it gave me the opportunity to bring it to people who normally wouldn't see theater like this or production like this. It also gave us a chance to educate people that are not in our metropolitan cities, so to speak. Not saying Columbia isn't one, mm-hmm. but, you know, as the farther you get away from Kansas City and St. Louis, ideas and beliefs and thoughts are different. So getting in front of an audience in like Colombia was both terrifying and gratifying when at the end of the play, we got a standing ovation.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Was there anything that you could observe? I mean, when you are in the moment and you're focused on putting on the show, it can be difficult to sort of be sensible to what else is going on. But is there anything that either of you picked up on that maybe came back to you as you were reflecting on the experience?
Well, while I was on stage, I noticed how absolutely quiet it was and how everyone was focused on what we were saying. Mm-hmm. And when the clips come up, because I was actually at some of the testimonies and hearings, it brought back emotions of how I felt in that day. So yeah. I played off those. Mm-hmm. But in Colombia, that audience was hanging on every word we said.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that came to mind for you?
Kind of similar to what Jordan is saying. I was up in the sound booth, and every once in a while I'd look out over the audience, and, you know, it did seem like people were very immersed in it just with the body language. Another thing that I noticed towards the end as we got into the final scene, I noticed that there were some people in the audience that were holding tissues to their eyes, and so I could tell that they had been really moved by it. So that was an indication that the response was an emotional one, as we hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm. Just Human incorporates, you know, what is real in another way. And Jordan, you just mentioned clips, and those were clips that came from legislative hearings. And there are also parts that are dramatic scenes, that are theatrical, dramatic monologues. How did you approach balancing that, Jamie?
That was one of the tricky balances for me as I refined the script was the words in the script, the monologues, are from the folks I interviewed who were so courageous in talking to me, so eloquent in sharing their stories and their experiences, that I wanted the stories to really be the highlight. But at the same time, it is a piece of theater, and I wanted it to be more than just a series of monologues. And in that regard, I really want to tip of the cap to Darius Varner, our director. Darius was very instrumental in guiding the process of shaping it into something that was more than just monologues, but had a narrative flow to it and had you know, some dynamic back and forth in the group scenes.
Mm-hmm. And imagine it also adds dimensions of context. Jordan, you talked about how it felt to hear those audio clips from those sessions. Was there something that you needed to do to like stay in the moment of what was going on and not be transported back too much?
Well, the first time that I saw the clips, I had to ask for a moment. I had to have a break because I lived that experience, but all those emotions came rushing back at that time. And to actually hear legislators not understand what intersex is and what transgender is, to hear that again was very upsetting and very triggering. Mm-hmm. So, and Jamie and Darius were very kind enough to let me have those moments where I gathered myself. But as the play progressed, I take those emotions that I had back then and bring them forward to now and put it into that scene.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the upcoming play, Just Human, Transgender Lives in the 2020s. It is a documentary play based on dozens of real-life interviews. The play opens in St. Louis tomorrow, and we're here talking with its writer, Jamie Linson, and one of its actors, Jordan Braxton. Just Human has a running theme, and that is that even though trans people may find themselves in a place where they feel they don't have power, that they can't challenge policies that are affecting their lives, there's also power in telling their own story. Is that something that you took away as well, and maybe in a way that you had not before, Jordan?
Well, I've always been telling my story. Because I work with the promo, I work with Find My Health, I do advocacy work, and I believe in narrative advocacy. Like, sometimes legislators, they won't listen or just totally dismiss scientific fact, but if you have someone there with lived experience telling you this is what this policy does for them, how it's life-saving, and hopefully you'll tug on some heartstring that'll see it's not just a dollar figure on a balance sheet or a law, it is an actual human being that you're affecting.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, in your work with trans clients in particular, what have you found is the power in people telling their own story?
I think a lot of it is, I think it starts with people having a sense of safety, of having a safe space in which to tell their stories. And part of my job as a counselor with all of my clients is to, from the very first session, try to create that safe space and let folks know that they're not going to be judged, that they're going to be supported, that they're going to be listened to attentively and respectfully. So I think that's really an essential component of it. One of the things that's been really gratifying for me is the actors, many of whom are transgender, all of whom are transgender, playing the transgender characters, have talked about what a difference it makes for them to be in rehearsals and in a context where they know that they're going to be treated respectfully. Mm-hmm. In sharing, obviously they're sharing the stories of other people, except for Jordan, who's sharing mm-hmm. her own stories, but also feeling free and safe to kind of be who they are in terms of their gender identities and everything else that makes them who they are.
Mm-hmm. Jordan, what is the power in volume of stories? How many are told and how loudly they're told?
Well, the thing that comes out of all these stories is that we're human beings. Trans people are human beings. And we want the same thing out of life that everyone else has, and we should be granted those things out of life. I mean, we're all still protected under the Constitution of the United States. And sometimes when I speak, I have to remind people of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we're not asking for special rights. We're just asking for our rights that we should have. And so as you tell all these stories and you hear all these different stories, you realize, oh, trans people are just like me. We're not unicorns, we're not demons, we're not out here to indoctrinate your kids. We're just out here living as people.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, the subtitle for this play is Transgender Lives in the 2020s. Why did you decide to focus on that and to reflect on a decade that we are only halfway through?
Yeah, I think a lot of the, well, really the impetus for it initially, as I had mentioned, was the legislation that's coming out. One of the characters in the script, one of the men I'd interviewed, talks about having come out in as a transgender male in the year 2015. And one of the things he mentions is he says back then, he said nobody was really talking, at least not in a very visible public way, about transgender folks. And he said, when I came out, everybody was like, well, we don't know what this is, but that's fine, do your thing. And he mentioned, you know, it didn't occur to them to be cruel about it. And so I think what we're seeing in the 2020s is transgender people being used, I believe, as scapegoats and being used for perceived political gain. And I think that's something obviously that's happened throughout history, but I think the target, the spotlight, if you will, has been focused on transgender people, particularly in this decade to mm-hmm. this point.
And Jordan, you're nodding.
Yes, because we are being used, like Jamie says, as scapegoats. Right now, we're being targeted and pointed, and it puts targets on our back. You know, they spent $147 million on anti-trans ads on 1% of the population. So what they're trying to do is just divide us, and they're starting with the lowest hanging fruit, so to say.
Jamie, one of the people you interviewed for this project is a Catholic nun in St. Louis, Sister Nancy Corcoran. She's 80 years old. And in Just Human, the actor who plays Nancy describes how she attends and organizes support groups for families of trans people. And in the play, Sister Nancy says that she tells those parents, quote, you're not crazy. You're doing what Jesus has asked us to do, which is love unconditionally. So Sister Nancy is speaking as an ally, and she is someone who, by her own account, who did not understand what it meant to be trans until she met these families and witnessed it for herself. Why was it important for you, Jamie, to include a voice like Sister Nancy's in this play?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was important for two reasons, primarily. One, I came to know Sister Nancy from some of the early interviews I did with transgender folks and parents, and so many people were mentioning at the end of the interview, they were saying, have you met Sister Nancy? You need to talk to Sister Nancy. Sister Nancy is wonderful. And so that was kind of the starting point. But I wanted to include a spiritual perspective, partly because I hear spirituality being used a lot in a condemning way toward transgender people and people using their religious beliefs as a justification for oppression. And I know that there are a lot of affirming spiritual voices out there. And so I wanted to highlight people whose faith is an instrumental part of their compassion for everyone, including groups that have been marginalized.
Mm-hmm. That spirituality part, Jordan, in your personal experience and in the community that you were connected to, how has that been part of how people are just human?
Mm-hmm. Well, in the play, I talk about, in my own experience, is that I don't go to church and I don't believe in organized religion, but I believe. I think one of the misconceptions about trans people is that we don't believe, we're not Christians, we're not Jewish, we're just demons. But a lot of trans people are spiritual. They go to church, they go to places like MCC. We have open and affirming churches that trans people are part of. So we have to get that information out there. that spirituality is a part of us, just like spirituality is a part of you. And I talk about how I have a personal relationship with God. And every morning I wake up, I thank Him for waking me up. And every night when I get home, I thank Him for allowing me to get through another day. Because there's so many trans people, especially Black trans women, who didn't make it through that day.
I want to return to something that Sister Nancy talked about, and that is about families and love. There are many trans people who do have families who support them. Perhaps there are more, however, who do not find that kind of unconditional love from their family members. Is that something that trans people can find or create on their own, that family, that unconditional love?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you think in 2025, kicking people out for coming out as trans or queer would stop, but it happens every single day. I work a lot in the community here in St. Louis, and people always call me saying, hey, I have a friend that came out as trans and they got disowned by their family. So what we do is we have chosen family. We have places where you can come and be loved on and be part of community and let you build back up yourself. Because sometimes when you come out to your family tears you down, and the people you think love you ended up hating you. But we're here, we may not be blood, but we're here in community to let you know that you're loved and you're special. And come on, let's bring back that trans joy. And I think that's something that people don't talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. It's the joy and the beauty it is being transgender.
Yeah.
I talk about that a lot.
And the play navigates challenges, but it also, it really does showcase joy. Is there a moment in the play that really stands out to you, Jamie, as an example of that?
That's a good question. For one thing, the emphasis on joy was not really where I started out. I started out in kind of a anger place from myself at how this legislation was adversely affecting people. And it was fairly early on in the process, a transgender man, Ben Green, who is a major consultant and one of the folks I interviewed, when I was telling him about the project, one of the things he emphasized was you need to focus on joy, that's especially important. And I think one of my favorite moments in the play is one of the transgender women talks about going to a yoga class, and she gets to wear this pink yoga outfit, and it's so affirming, and she loves to go and be herself that way. Mm-hmm.
Jamie Linson is the playwright of Just Human, Transgender Lives in the 2020s, and Jordan Braxton performs in Just Human as herself. The play opens tomorrow at the Greenfinch Theater. Jordan and Jamie, thank you so much for talking with us today, and good luck.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.